وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء for all your beautiful duas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue taking the khidmat of deen from you, Hazrat Mawlana Salim Sahib. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la taqulu ra'ina. وقولوا انظرنا واسمعوا وللكافرين عذاب أليم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, we're discussing the differences between magic and the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we mentioned earlier, magic hinges on hidden means to cause a desired effect. On the other hand, miracles displayed by the Prophet Anbiya alayhi salam proceed directly from Allah without any hidden or visible means. The miracles of the Prophets, the Anbiya alayhi salam, are too numerous to mention. Amongst these is the cooling of the fire for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the staff of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, which became a serpent and which caused the sea to split open for the Bani Israel. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also performed many miracles. A single handful of sand that he threw temporarily blinded the entire Mushrikeen army, the polytheists. Water flowed from between his fingers, and hundreds of people ate from a meager amount of food that he served. Subhanallah. Magic can also be distinguished from miracles, from mu'jizat, by scrutinizing the person involved. Magic is associated with filthy, impure, and sinful people, while the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were pious, upright and pure. The author of Ruhul Ma'ani writes that Allah will never allow any magician to reproduce a miracle displayed by any of the prophets, the Anbiya alayhi salam, like the splitting the sea or raising the dead, making inanimate objects talk, etc. He has also written that another difference between a miracle and magic is that a miracle can only take place at the hands of a person who is a prophet of Allah, a mu'jiza. No supernatural acts can issue forth from a person claiming to be a prophet when he is not one. Miracles are also accompanied by a challenge for any person to beat the feat. Allah has maintained this system to disgrace any false claimant to risalat and prophethood. After the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the false claimants to risalat and prophethood have managed only to mesmerize people at the most. They can do no more. No magician can ever issue the challenge that the prophets and Anbiya alayhi salam did when performing a miracle. History bears testimony to the fact that no person has ever reproduced a miracle of any prophet of Allah, nor has any person nullified any miracle. Now we discuss the difference between magic and the miracles of the pious people, which is referred to as karamat. The supernatural feats performed by pious people who are not prophets are called karamat. Many pious people of the ummah, of the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have displayed various karamat. These karamat neither draw them closer to Allah, nor do they increase their status. The pious people are sometimes unaware of their own karamat. It is for this reason that many notable saints do not even attach importance to these. To differentiate between karamat and magic, the person involved should also be scrutinized. Only Allah's pious servants will display karamat. They are people who are constantly engaged in Allah's worship, adhere to the Sharia, and are distant from filth and impurity. A supernatural act stemming from a person whose behavior is contrary to this and more in conformance to the behavior of shaitan will not be regarded as karama. Practicing magic is a sin, as well as an act of kufr, of infidelity. The author of Bayan al-Quran writes that if any form of magic requires incantations, certain words of infidelity, of kufr, then it will be regarded as infidelity and kufr. Example, seeking assistance from shaitan, from the shayateen, or from the stars. The status of infidelity and kufr will apply even though the magic is not used to harm anyone, but to benefit others. However, when such words are not used, but the magic is used to harm others, it will be regarded as sin. If none is hurt thereby, it will not be called magic. However, if the words used are not clearly understood, it should be refrained from. The same applies to all other methods of cure, securing cure and assistance, which people refer to as tawis and amulets. If you need anything, then turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, and this is the appropriate way. They learned things that harmed them and did them no good. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi interprets this verse to mean that they caused harm to themselves in the year after as well, although they may have achieved some sort of benefit through magic in this world. Other commentators say that the harm of magic will even overtake the magician in this world. One of the ways is that they stand to face severe punishment if convicted of magic by an Islamic court. Commenting on the phrase, and did them no good, the author of Ruh al-Ma'ani writes that black magic can only augur harm and destruction for the person because no good can come out of it. It is just like certain harmful things, like poisons, which are extremely harmful, can contain a little benefit. So too, a person practicing black magic can never benefit anyone because no real good can be derived from it. Learning the science is detrimental to one's existence in both the worlds. Even though a limited amount of good can be had from magic in perhaps saving a Muslim from harm, it has been declared bereft of good because such cases of benefit are extremely rare. Black magic is almost always used to harm others. It also has a detrimental effect on the magician himself or herself. No magician has ever been known to prosper in this world, nor have any of them become leaders. One will notice that these people always live in filth and squalor, earning only the little that people pay them to cast spells on others. Of course, total destruction awaits them in the hereafter. Indeed, they knew that there is no share in the hereafter for the one who purchased it. Evil indeed is the price for which they have sold their souls, if they only knew. They will earn the terrible tortures of the hereafter in exchange for the measly gains of this world. Although there seems to be a contradiction of terms between indeed they knew and if only they knew, there is really no contradiction. Practicing something despite possessing the knowledge that is detrimental is just like having no knowledge at all. The author of Ruhul Ma'ani interprets if only they knew to mean although they knew that they were facing terrible consequences in the hereafter, if they only they knew exactly what these consequences were, they would certainly abstain. If only they believed in all of Allah's prophets, alayhimus salam, and adopted piety and taqwa by abstaining from all sin, then the reward with Allah is best for them if they only knew. Even the smallest reward of the hereafter is better than all the things of this world because it is everlasting. Ruhul Ma'ani mentions that according to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, persons found guilty of practicing black magic must be executed. Their lives will not be spared, even if they repent and promise never to repeat the deed. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi writes that the man who practices that black magic, which falls under the category of kufr and infidelity, will be executed because he has become a kafir. However, if a woman is found guilty of black magic, she will be not executed because female apostates are also not executed, She will be imprisoned for life. If a person is found guilty of such black magic that is not classified as infidelity, then she will not be executed because of the magic. However, if the magic caused anything serious like someone's death, illness, or separation from a spouse, then the magician, male or female, will be executed because she has been instrumental in causing strife to reign on earth. A Sahabi by the name of Sayyidina Jundub ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala an, once saw a person demonstrate how he could decapitate the person and then replace his head, causing him to come back to life. Onlookers were greatly astonished and applauded him for being able to raise the dead. Sayyidina Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu drew his sword and executed the magician, telling the people, if he can raise the dead, he would raise himself as well. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam thereafter said about Sayyidina Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he struck such a blow with his sword, whereby he assumed the status of an entire ummah. It was necessary to execute the person because his action would lead to great corruption by causing people to believe that he could actually raise the dead. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi reports that a person once came to Sayyidina Walid ibn Aqba radiallahu ta'ala, who was the governor of Iraq. The person walked on a string, entered into a donkey's body from its tail, and then emerged from its mouth. Sayyidina Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu executed the person. It was about Sayyidina Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there will be a person from my ummah called Jundub. He will strike a blow with his sword whereby falsehood will be distinguished from truth. So now the various rulings, it is not permissible to use the words of the Quran and ahadith for any practice that causes harm to others. Example, to recite certain surahs, etc., or make a charm to harm anyone, even though Allah's names are used. Then is another ruling, amulets made by people who are assisted by shaitan, by the shayateen, will also be regarded as magic and cannot be used. It is also not permissible to use these amulets when the source is doubtful. An incident is commonly reported about how Harut and Marut were sent to earth after human passions were instilled in them. On earth, they fell in love with a woman called Zahra, whom they tried to seduce. She asked them to inform her of the Ismul A'zam, a great name of Allah by which all supplications are accepted. When they informed her, she immediately ascended to the heavens and became a star. Thereafter, Allah gave them the option of suffering punishment in the world or in the hereafter. When they opted for worldly punishment, they were suspended upside down in a well of Babylon, where they would be punished till the day of resurrection. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi in Ruhul Mani and Allama Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi have narrated this incident. However, the authenticity of this narration has been questioned. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقولوا راعنا وقولوا انظرنا واسمعوا وللكافرين عذاب مهين عذاب أليم. O you who believe, do not say ra'ina, but say unzurna and hearken. A painful punishment is reserved for the disbelievers. The mischief of the Jews and prohibition from saying ra'ina. Part of the insolence displayed by the Jews was that they used to tell the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ra'ina. This word may be translated in both the Arabic and Hebrew languages. In Arabic, it would mean, consider us, whereas it is a curse in Hebrew. When addressing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they intended the Hebrew meaning of the word, but because of the Arabic meaning of the word, they made it appear to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the other Muslims that they were actually requesting the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attention. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 46 of Surah Nisa, some of the Jews alter words from their context and say, we hear and we disobey and listen in a manner that you do not listen. Distorting with their tongues and taunting the deen, the religion, they say ra'ina. If only they said, we hear and we obey, do listen and do grant us consideration, it would have been better for them and more ethical. However, Allah has cursed them because of their disbelief, so that only a few of them believe. According to the Arabic language, The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Ra'ina ya Muhammad, look to us, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who understood the Hebrew language, noticed the Jews laughing among themselves whenever they said, Ra'ina ya Muhammad. He warned them never to use those words again, otherwise he would kill them. When they objected that the Muslims also use these words, Allah revealed the verse, O you who believe, do not say Ra'ina, but say Unzurna and hearken. A painful punishment is reserved for the disbelievers. Bayan al-Quran mentions that this verse teaches Muslims to abstain from any permissible deed if the possibility exists that a deed could lead to a sin. A Muslim scholar will therefore not be permitted to perform any permissible act which another person may misconstrue, leading him to fall into sin when trying to do the same. Of course, this will only apply to acts that are not compulsory. If an act is compulsory, it will have to be carried out even though people may misconstrue it. The laws derive from the prohibition of saying Ra'ina. Allama Jassas Rahmatullah alayhi writes in Ahkam al-Quran that any word which could have either a good or bad meaning must not be used unless additional words are added to restrict the meaning to the good one. It is also learned that it is not permissible to use any words that will cause people to laugh and mock. Allama Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah alayhi states that the verse prohibits Muslims from emulating the words and deeds of the kuffar. Thereafter, he quotes a hadith from the Musnad of Ahmad in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who emulates a nation is from them. Therefore, a Muslim must not imitate the dressing, acts of devotion, mannerisms, words and actions of the infidels, of the kuffar. Many ahadith have strictly prohibited Muslims from using words that have an evil or inappropriate meaning. It is for this reason that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited Muslims from calling anyone Shahanshah, the king of all kings. Such a word can only be used for Allah. This is in Mishkat Sharif. In the same regard, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the name of a girl named Asiya to Jamila. This Ain, and Asiya is with an Ain. He also prohibited people from calling their male slaves Abdi, my slave, and their female slaves Amati, my slave woman, because every person is Allah's slave. He advised them to rather refer to their slaves as Ghulami or Jariyati. This is Mishkat Sharif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on whatever we learn, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the evil of the magicians and what they desire, and from the jealousy of those who have hasad. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.